Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
As I mentioned earlier, what is going on with words like biltong? So yeah, the vegans are completely up in arms. Well, I mean gently, and they can't lift their arms because they battle a little bit. Vegans not happy at all. Of course, they're not going to fight because they're lovers, not fighters. They do want to solve this amicably. But what on earth is going on? Peter Gordon is the CEO of the South African Meat Processors Association. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Good morning. Yeah, very well. Thank you. Yourself?
I am well. Look, I find it very difficult to take vegans seriously, but you obviously have to in your professional capacity. So apparently vegans are really, really upset about this, as you know, they're not going to take up arms or anything, but they're upset about words like biltong not being allowed to be used by them. Just give us some background here.
Well, South Africa has got many different pieces of legislation that govern the words that can be used, the descriptions that can be put onto products to ensure that they are accurate and they truly reflect the ingredients that are in the product. So there are a number of regulations that require that the labels do not mislead the consumer. And what has happened is that the non-meat sector have brought out a range of products in the last 2 to 3 years, many of which are in contravention of existing regulations. And DALRRD, the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, the old Department of Agriculture, they've simply imposed a directive to say to the sector that you have to comply with labeling legislation and you can't mislead the consumer. And that has now caused a bit of a storm in a teacup.
What is your approach to this?
Well, SAMPAS very clearly supports the Department of Agriculture's directive, and that is to make sure that labels are compliant with regulations. And I think from a SAMPA point of view, what we are looking for is we are looking for accurate labels. And a good example would be if you have a burger patty made out of mushroom, it should be called a mushroom patty or a mushroom burger. It certainly can't be called a beef-like burger. And then in small letters somewhere on the label, it says made from mushrooms. You know, it's the hero ingredient should be mushroom. And if you're a vegan, you should be proud that you are eating those products. I mean, that stands to reason. So we're really saying just label product accurately and within the law, and everybody will be able to get on and be happy.
What about using quotation marks, or do we not really distinguish that way?
You're not allowed to use that in South African labeling law now.
Oh, really? So if we say, you know, biltong in inverted commas, that doesn't denote anything in South African law?
Well, it basically says that it's contrary to the regulation. You can't use inverted commas. The name is the name, and you must use something that is accurately describing the product. So in the case of biltong, it's defined under regulation R1283, and it stipulates what it is. So there's a myriad of laws that one needs to be familiar with to make sure that you don't say something that is contrary to regulations. A similar example, if you make a claim like fat-free, low fat, those are very closely controlled. You also can't say words like super or superior or better than.
Right, because it isn't, because you don't know that it is, unless it is.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to go into, you'd have to basically provide evidence that you've done research that supports that your product is better than, and basically those words for that reason are outlawed. So I think in this particular instance, all we are saying is the laws exist, abide by the laws, and call the products what they are. Don't try and ride on the back of old and existing meat names, things like boerewors, you know, bratwurst, schnitzel. Those are well-known, tried and tested names that have always been associated with meat. And really to try and imagine that suddenly a slice of a vegetable product can approximate a schnitzel is, I think, a far stretch even for the vegan market.
I know, but they lack protein, so they're not necessarily thinking straight. What do you do with American-type products, the Beyond Burgers and things like that? Because here we're importing products that already have the name in the name. Sorry, is your radio on, Peter, is your radio by any chance on in the background? Because I'm hearing a bit of an echo.
No, it's my inverter. No, I haven't got anything on at the moment, but I have an inverter that's running, unfortunately. I'm in load shedding at the moment, so...
Hashtag hate Eskom.
But that shouldn't, yeah, I shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
But I, no, look, I'm sorry about that. But
no stress.
No, look, I think, again, for imported products that comply with international regulations, you know, South Africa has its own set of regulations and they may differ from other countries. Certainly we know that America and certain parts of Europe, they have different rules, and our rules don't have to comply with other countries. We are a sovereign state and we're entitled to have our own food regulations, which we do have in some instances.
Right. So where do you think it's going to lead? Where do you think it's going to end?
Well, we'd like to see a negotiation, I mean, a dialogue between the Department of Agriculture and the producers, and to find a sensible middle ground. I think what we need to know is that some people are going to be unhappy, and there are products that are going to have to be relabeled. So those manufacturers are going to have to take back products or stop producing products for a short period while they reformulate their label and their label descriptions. And there's obviously a significant cost to that. But we believe there is space in the marketplace for both meat and non-meat products. They just need to accurately reflect the product that they're selling. And then I think everybody will be able to get on and do as much business as we possibly can. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're all trying to do, is simply to make money and to be successful and offer the consumer a really good choice. And that's what we want.
How does this work when it comes to things like snoek biltong? I mean, I haven't seen it for years, but I remember some years ago in Hunt Bay you could get snoek biltong. What is the approach there?
Well, I think that every sector is going to have to go and look at its own labeling requirements. And I know in the fishery sector there are certain products that are out there called fish style fingers and prawn style prawns, but they're made from soya or tofu or whatever. And they have as much problem with incorrect labeling as we do. The dairy sector, the poultry sector are very much the same. So I think each sector will have to go and look at their particular product ranges and put forward proposals to the Department of Agriculture. And the directorate of the department will have to then make rulings on what will and won't be acceptable. And that will take some time.
Well, we certainly are sensitive to it in the Jewish or kosher areas, where instead of calling something a hamburger, because it actually isn't a hamburger, it's a beef burger, and that makes it much more simple and accurate, actually. So it does matter. Labeling does matter. The names that you call something is relevant.
No, absolutely. And I think that, you know, what we are surprised at is when there was an engagement between after the directive had been put out, there was an engagement between the Department of Agriculture and, let's call it, the vegan community. I think there were 90-odd people on that call. And a lot of people were expressing their opinions that they'd never heard of any of these regulations, and we didn't know these regulations existed. Well, I think if you go into the food space and you want to be a food manufacturer, it's incumbent on you to make sure that you're aware of legislation that might affect your particular product ranges that you're producing. You can't just go in and call it whatever you want and then afterwards say, oh, I didn't know, no one told me. In fact, one of the comments was the department hadn't told us. Well, the department correctly said, it's not for us to tell you, it's
Absolutely.
For you to make yourself aware of the legislation. So it is a bit of a complicated field, the labeling legislation in South Africa. It's covered by three different acts which fall under three different government departments. So it's Department of Health, Agriculture, and Trade and Industry. And so that does make the task of knowing exactly where you are a little bit more complicated. But there are lots of people with the necessary expertise out there who can assist.
All right, somebody listening in, Andrew from the US listening in, says Feldman doesn't I eat fake meat all the time. This is what this guy says, and Feldman doesn't. That's why he's ugly on the outside as well as the inside. All right, well, that's fine, but at least I'm happy, you know what I mean? And that's absolutely fine with me. Dina's saying, well, the biggest mistake you ever made was to eat snoek biltong. Yeah, that is absolutely right. Genuinely one of the worst things that I have ever tasted. Either way, that's not really the conversation that we're focused on here. Peter Gordon, CEO of the South African Meat Processors Association, chatting to us this morning. Apologies to our vegan listeners if there are any left, you know, but you know my view on it. I just find it completely ridiculous.